Coach Cox at the half. Coach Cox at the half.
Howdy, howdy. It's me, Kat, here with our guest for the hour, Coach Kyle Cox.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And we have...
Mondragon, of course.
Mondragon.
From Frequency Friday, of course.
But, okay. So, Mr. Cox, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Glad it's Friday. Excited to be here and be part of this. What's, year 53?
Yes.
On the air?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. So far, we're an hour 10 of 50.
Long weekend ahead.
32 to go.
32 more to go.
Yeah.
No, wait.
Yeah.
No. That math doesn't make sense. That math doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't?
No.
Wait. I'm getting messed up. I'm getting confused. Yeah.
We're the Career Center kids right now.
So, Mr. Coach Cox, you coach Ben Davis football? Baseball.
Baseball. I did help with football occasionally. Yeah, the shirt there. So, we're right in the middle of our baseball season. 10 games in. And then we play a doubleheader tomorrow at Carmel. So, starting at 10 a.m. That'll be a tough matchup. It'll be cold, but hopefully can go up there and make some noise.
What time does it start?
So we play at 10 and then 12:30-ish. So it just depends on when that first game ends.
Okay. So what are some things you're looking forward to for the rest of your season?
Hopefully getting better. We've started off, I'd say, poorly. Record-wise, all three teams have struggled. But at the varsity level, we're pretty young. We have 11 guys on our roster who are sophomores or juniors. And so with only 5 seniors, it's tough at times, not a lot of experience there. So we're making a lot of dumb mistakes at times and learning. So I think we're getting better each game. And I don't know if we've had one game where we've really put it all together yet. So we've done one thing really well and then played really poorly in other areas. I know the other night against Pike, our guys broadcast our game, and we pitched really, really well and then just could not hit the ball. So I think once we put all three things together with pitching, hitting, and defense, we should be really good because we have a lot of talent.
Yeah, and like you said, you have sophomores, juniors. By next year, they're going to be seniors and juniors, so they'll have the experience, and hopefully they have a way better season. Yeah,
that's our hope, right?
Yeah, there's always room for improvement, yeah.
Well, there's, unfortunately, the other night, Delbert Mims got in, so he's out for a little bit, but it's an opportunity for a sophomore to get a lot of playing time that maybe he would have gotten before. So our hope is, like, next year we'll return 11 guys with playing experience, and we have Jose Guzman, who's a junior right now and committed to the University of Cincinnati, going there to pitch. Cameron Kelly, who's a junior and started first base for us last year and this year, and is leading our team with a .350 batting average, and he's hit our only home run. It's been a pleasant surprise with our seniors. We didn't really know what to expect out of them a little bit. Like, we knew they had some talent, but some hadn't quite put it together on the varsity level. And before getting hurt, Delbert was hitting .450 in the conference play. Ben Montgomery has been really, really good for us, and he's going to have an opportunity to go play somewhere in college. Tommy Garwood leads our team in innings pitched and has, like, 1.86 ERA, like, not giving up any runs. Matt Lamrolin pitched the other night against Pike and had his best outing of his career. Went struck out 8 in 4 innings, and after the game, we had a couple colleges actually contact about him. So we have some guys. I should mention Brian Larkin. Don't want to leave our only other senior who is leading our team in batting average and pitches really well for us. So they've done a really good job leading the team, so I don't want to write them off because we have a lot of young players. But they're doing a good job leading and making sure that they're kind of setting the tone that hopefully we finish this year really strong and have a special year, but build towards next year and the following seasons as well.
So what are some things that you're going – how do you – with baseball, what are some things that people like your average students and parents and can do to support your teams?
Come to the games. I mean, that's a big part of it. I know some don't find baseball exciting because at times can move at a slower pace. We try to make it fun as much as we can, play music so that as the resident DJ for our team, I feel like I have a pretty good song selection. And then our players are pretty excited to watch, I think, at times. Like, they get excited, they're loud, they play really hard. So when we have good crowds, they build off of that. Like, our players enjoy that. So, I mean, that's a big part of it for them, just having that, that student support. And when the weather's nice, it's fun to go sit out there. And I think the students do a pretty good job showing up for that too, though.
Yeah, well, personally for me, I don't really follow baseball that much. I have been, I can sit for a game, right? I go to plenty of Indians games, you know, with some friends, hang out, and I know it's a really good experience. So, and you know, in a high school level, you know the players much more. So I feel like, you know, it's going to be a much more like cool environment, you know. So
for some of the nicer games, we'll have the grill fired up. Get some nice weather here soon. Should be a really good time and a good chance for people to come out, and hopefully we'll be playing a little better baseball and enjoy yourselves out at the ballpark.
Yeah.
Did you play baseball during high school?
Yeah, I played baseball and football here, and then went to Butler for 2 years to play baseball, and then graduated from Marion where I played baseball as well. And then so now I've been coaching here my eighth or ninth year here, and then definitely it's different, but I like it. I wanted to be here because this is a place that I cared about, and which gave me the opportunity to then go play in college. So trying to help kids get that opportunity as well.
How would you describe your journey throughout, you know, your career in baseball?
I don't know. I never really thought about that, honestly. I mean, I played at Ben Davis Little League, or when it was Westlake Little League at the time, when I was 5 or 6, I think, my first year. And my mom still reminds me that most of that year was me picking dandelions in the outfield and telling her I wanted to go home. So it wasn't until probably 8 or 9 that I was really into it. And my dad got me lessons, and then from there it just kind of took off. So I played a lot of travel ball, played then varsity sophomore year and up, and fortunately I had the opportunity to go play in college, which was a really cool experience. Got to play at some neat places, played at Victory Field for a game, and played at Miller Park in Milwaukee for a couple games. So kind of neat experience there that, honestly, I'm always going to enjoy that memory and have those pictures. And then now got into coaching. Aaron Kroll gave me my first job here at Ben Davis coaching, like I said, 8 or 9 years ago, and then just kind of stuck with it ever since. So started with our C team and then took over JV for a while, and then now varsity assistant for, this will be my third year, I think, with varsity.
Me too. That's neat.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm really bad at these interviews.
So right. You're a teacher at the 9th grade center, right?
I am.
Yeah.
What team were you guys on at the 9th grade center?
I was in Key.
I was BCA. Is it still called that?
Yeah. BCA with what grade are you?
I'm a senior.
Senior. So, with Mr. White, was he on BCA?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Was,
so still.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Mr. Renault.
Definitely.
Key hasn't changed. So
no, has barely
anything
hasn't.
Anything else changed in the 9th grade center?
Some new teachers here and there, but still a lot of good things going on there. I mean, it's obviously a little different setup with the teams and the block scheduling, but obviously our goal is to help students get ready for life here at the high school and help them make good choices and prepare them academically so that then they have the opportunity to do things like this. We have kids that talk about wanting to be on the radio. We show them BDTV every week, so get some of that buy-in. They really enjoy that, but we also emphasize, hey, other things first before you get that chance.
And what do you teach at the 9th grade center?
English for the Adrenaline Academy.
Adrenaline. Yep. Oh, all right.
I don't like that you said it like that. Like, oh.
Nah, I remember I had a lot of friends in Adrenaline. So
they probably all love me, so that's all that I assume.
Yeah.
You seem like a pretty cool teacher.
I like to think so, but I mean, it depends. Depending on the day, depending on the student. Obviously, that's going to make a difference too, because I'm sure there are some students who are not big fans of me, but that's okay. I'm not for everyone. I'm an acquired taste, I think.
Yeah, of course.
How would you define the role as a teacher? Like, what to you is your definition of teacher?
I feel like I'm there. I mean, I know some go into it because they love the content, right? Like, some go into it for English, we'll use that as an example. They go into it because they love reading, they love writing, which I do like doing those things. But I look at more, I like helping kids find things that they're interested in, having those conversations where probably the best part of my day has nothing to do usually with what's happening content-wise for me. Sometimes it's just that conversation offside, trying to help where I can. honestly, I hope I help kids become better writers, better readers, those sorts of things, because I feel like those are skills that going to translate to adulthood, go to college, those things. But ultimately, it's more being there for them when maybe things aren't going well, and whether it's academically, personally, socially, whatever that may be.
So, you know, you're a teacher and a coach. And my question is, because I know teachers that, you know, they don't complain, but, you know, they say like, hey, being a teacher is a hard job because I have to care for every single one of you. Mm-hmm. And adding to that, you're also a coach, which you also have to care for another group of students, athletes. So for you, how has it been to be a teacher and a coach? Like, how's the load? Like, I guess.
It's busy. Fortunately, especially with coaching, my wife's very supportive of that for me. So during the baseball season, it's tough because I have two young kids. And so like game days especially, I mean, she's all by herself doing bath, bedtime, all those things. And I know that can be really frustrating, hard, but she doesn't complain to me anyway. I'm sure she does because I know it's not easy. So she's awesome when it comes to that. But as far as then with all the kids, right, like it can be overwhelming. Teaching isn't for everyone, and especially teaching in a building like this, like public education is not for everyone in a district like ours where maybe what we're reading in a book is far from being that kid's biggest priority that day. And so sometimes that is a challenge to remember. But I think most of the teachers here are here because they do care and they love it. Which this is a good time to remind people, and not next week, but the week after. So May 6th through May 10th is Teacher Appreciation Week. So all those listeners out there, students especially, be sure to find a teacher to thank. Maybe it's just your favorite teacher, but it could be just somebody that who's helped you, maybe just been nice to you when other people hadn't. And that's one of the things we're doing at the Freshman Center now. Building-wide, every one of them is writing a letter to somebody in our building thanking them, whether that's teacher, custodian, principal, whoever it might be. Because as I told our students, this isn't always the easiest job. And I know every year we do that, our teachers love it. It's like their favorite thing that happens because they get to read these letters from kids. And maybe sometimes the kid that you don't realize liked you at all. Like maybe you had the worst experience with them, but they're thanking you because at least you were really trying. Whereas maybe sometimes others didn't for them. So that's the challenge part. But then at the same time, remembering that we're here for the kids and always trying to be as positive as can be with them.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I would assume you guys have had great teaching experiences because of going to this building, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We
had great experiences.
Yeah.
Especially with radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
So besides radio, who's your guys' favorite teacher? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Nah, I have plenty of favorite teachers, but I got to say it has to be impact teachers because, you know, you start as a sophomore and you get the same impact teacher. And then, you know, you go along with them.
Who's your impact teacher?
Miss Owens. Miss Owen.
Don't know.
Shout out to Miss Owens. And then,
but here's the other thing. I have like my second impact teacher. He's my AVID teacher. So I had him as a sophomore. I still have him as a junior and I'll have him as a senior.
Who's your AVID teacher?
Mr. Browning.
Oh, I was hoping it was Mr. McMaster.
Oh, yeah.
Made him go way back.
His room is right across from mine. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's why I was ready to just talk him up, but it's all right. We can talk him up anyway. Phenomenal teacher, know him, great guy. Yeah. You should get to know him.
He seems really cool. What about you, Kat?
This is kind of hard, but I'm going to have to just go with my impact teacher because I have a bond with her.
And who's your?
Miss Bonzani. She's an English teacher.
I know her.
Yeah. Okay. She's really cool, calm, and sometimes she's not.
She's the one from Penn, right? Have you had that conversation from up north? Pretty sure that's. I think that's who it is.
I don't know where she's from.
I feel like I had this conversation with her. Maybe I'm thinking someone else, but think I'm right or not sure? Yeah. Yeah, we didn't go off straight strong start because I was bad-mouthing Penn to her after that, but it's all right.
So you're also in a half – do you still coach football or –
A little bit, so backed off it since having a second child, but did stats at the varsity games. And so this year I didn't help at all with the freshman team, but in the past I was coaching the freshman O-line and then doing stats on Friday nights. But this year I did about half of the games, and I'll probably try to do it again next year and just help out where I can. It's just hard because with baseball too, we worked out every day. Like we lifted after school, so it's 5 days a week. I had something going on, so it was kind of overwhelming to also try to go do football on top of that. And then, like I said, with two kids at home and knowing that I wasn't going to be home a lot in the spring, I tried to make sure I was there as much as possible so that I didn't have to sleep on the couch every night and get yelled at or anything like that.
Right. Are there any goals you have for next year, this year, things that you're looking forward to, like, you know?
Abroad, and it doesn't have to be, like, you know, coaching or baseball season. We're at, like, more of life personal, you know?
Life personal goals. Oh,
we're here,
man.
To get to know you. Oh, coach.
Yeah. That's getting real personal. We're getting deep. I mean, on a personal level, honestly, just no, like, the what's crazy is the last now 2.5 years, it's just been crazy to watch, like, my first son go from, like, I'll see the on Facebook videos pop up to where he first crawled, and all of a sudden, like, he's running around talking, singing songs now, and he's not 3 yet. So then I just imagine him in a year from now or in the next year. And then my youngest, Bodhi, who is crawling and can walk with, like, a walker, but then I think, oh man, in a year, like, how close they're going to be. So I'm really excited about that. Here at school, I also want to keep doing as well as I can teaching wise and then helping as many students as possible. I mean, I'll writing, reading, like, that. Maybe I don't always do the best there because my focus is, honestly, like I said, I'm more concerned with helping the students. I like the reading and writing, but I'm not as maybe a stickler as some, and is what it is. Like, I'm willing to accept that.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, baseball-wise, I mean, my number one goal is helping those kids get to college, the ones that want to play baseball. And we talk about focus on the process, not just, I guess, with baseball, but worrying about the things you can control, because you can control the effort that you have every single day, whether that's in the classroom, the weight room, practice, and then how all those things that you focus on, work as hard as you can, the other stuff's going to take care of itself. Like, the end results, like, whether it's college scholarships, wins, the postseason accolades, like, that stuff is great and that matters, but that doesn't happen if you don't do all those other little things. So we talk about focus on the process all the time, and I always like to use this Ray Lewis quote that the only thing that follows work is results. So we tell them the harder you work, good things are going to happen for you in the end. So that's the thing, we just keep pushing them, and like I said, get them to college and keep just developing really good young men. I mean, that's obviously the goal of any teacher, any coach here. So. Yeah,
of course.
Is it difficult to get into a college on a scholarship?
Baseball's tough, with less scholarship opportunities because, let's say right now, they have maybe like 11 and a half scholarships to fill a roster of 25. And then unless you're throwing 90 miles an hour, you're not getting much of that scholarship. And so then for us, especially if a kid doesn't break out till their senior year, they're already late to the game, right? Picking college. Most have an idea what they're doing college-wise before it's May of their senior year. And then some of our kids get in tough positions because of that, because they want to play. They have backup plans, but some of the smaller schools aren't always that they're taking on maybe the guys that the IUs and Purdue's don't offer. But obviously people want to go to schools like that first, and then it comes down to maybe like UND, Marion, like the ones that then get that next tier of player. And so further down the line, so like I said, that's maybe the more challenging part for some of the kids to accept, that the uncertainty, because that's scary. I get that as an 18-year-old, you want to know what your future holds, and sometimes when you don't, maybe you get panicky. And so we just try to stay with them on being positive and knowing that if they keep working, things are going to work out for them. And then, like I said, we're in the process of contacting a lot of schools on behalf of some of our players that maybe realized or that they could go play baseball. So we're hoping that four of our seniors go on and play. Honestly, Delbert's going on to play football in college. So the fact that we can send all 5 of our guys to go play sports in college, that would be an amazing accomplishment, I feel like, this year. And that's really the hope for us.
I myself can attest to that fear of uncertainty right now, because I still recently figured out what college I was going to, and I still have a whole thing I got to get through, and it's kind of scary. I think when that mixes with senioritis, with some fear and the uncertainty and the senioritis, it just ends up becoming kind of like unmotivated, and kind of your students end up being deterred from doing anything.
yeah, that mix of wish high school is over, but then you don't know what's next, and maybe you don't have that college there that's like, oh, that's what I'm building towards. Yeah, and then it can be overwhelming, right? Like, and a little scary at times, where maybe not knowing where to start. Like, how do I fix this? How do I deal with this? So, I don't know. I think you take it one thing at a time, and eventually, like I said, that process, you focus on that, it's going to take care of itself. You'll get it figured out. Do you know where's you want to go?
Yeah, I'm going to Ball State.
Okay. Chirp, chirp. It's probably the first time I've ever said that out loud, so there's a WBDG first.
Oh, we can record that. We could have added it to your track.
No.
Oh, it's recording? Oh, we got it.
We'll send it to Ball State. Maybe they'll want to put a PSA in here.
So, picking back right, you said you went to play at Butler.
Yeah, 2 years at Butler and then finished at Marion.
Yeah, so what was your process like from high school, like, you know, playing high school and then transition going to university, you know? Because like you said, you know, did you go through that process that you were explaining just a few moments ago? Like,
yeah, it was honestly, as a senior, it was scary. Like, not to too much. I thought I was pretty good at baseball and had some schools interested. So I talked to a lot, but so I knew I had these opportunities, but I didn't really know what I wanted. At one point, I had visited Valparaiso, visited Evansville, IU, and baseball wise, I could have played there. I didn't really feel as the right fit for me, which was kind of scary. Yeah. I was close to going just to DePaul because I really liked it as a school. Because I mean, I knew realistically, I wasn't going to be a major league player, and didn't feel like level mattered as much. If I was more worried about finding a school that I really liked. I'd always liked Butler, but couldn't afford it because until they offered.
Yeah.
And so once they did, though, I jumped on that opportunity. But that was middle of my senior season that they finally did. So that was, I mean, it definitely was scary, but wasn't once I actually got there, like, too overwhelming, I don't think, because I feel like Ben Davis really did prepare me. Had some really good teachers that I felt like when I got there, the academic side, I felt pretty confident. And then same athletically. So I always think, and I'm going to do it here too, I always thank Krista Hensley, who was my AP, I don't know if it was lit or lang at that time, honestly. My AP senior lang. Year, it would have been, yeah, whatever I had senior year, was like my favorite teacher and a big reason that I wanted to become a teacher. But she was really supportive because, like, I talked to her about being scared, not knowing what was next for me. And then Coach Vanderbush, who I've known for 15 years and or actually more than that now, but friends with his kids, and I was his student helper, and so would talk to him every day. So he was a big part in helping me figure out what was next and kind of staying with me about being positive. And sometimes when I wasn't, whether it was at school or on the field or whatever it is, where may I let some of those things get to me, he was really there for me to help me kind of figure that stuff out.
Mm. Well, I'd like to thank you, Coach Cox, for sparing some of your time
Absolutely.
With us. Spending so much time with us. And I'd also like to thank our underwriters for the hour. Oh, actually, do you have any upcoming events that you'd like to share with our listeners?
We play, I honestly don't know the exact schedule. We play Center Grove at home either Tuesday or Wednesday this coming week. We'll play a home game either every Tuesday or Wednesday from now to the end of the season. So you can check the schedule on the school website or on Twitter, BDHS_baseball. For any updates, and like I said, come out to a game. It'll be a good time. And thank you guys for having me.
For sure.
Thank you for
all right. And good luck with the next 32 or whatever the hours are that you figured
out. I don't know.
Out.
I'm just going till it's over.
Till it ends. You're already exhausted. I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys.
Very much. Coach Cox.